at all unusual, for there were profound rivalries even amongst the constituents of what was technically the very model of a unified demarchist society. Amongst 10,000 habitats, there was every human specialization imaginable, every expertise, every ideology, every perversion. The demarchists permitted everything, even experimentation in political models which chafed against their underlying paradigm of absolute non-hierarchical democracy. Provided those experiments remained experiments, they were tolerated, even actively encouraged. Only the development and stockpiling of armaments was forbidden, unless they were to be used artistically. And it was here in the Glitterband that the system's most illustrious clan, the Sylvest family, had performed much of the work that had brought them eventual fame. Calvin Sylvest had attempted the first neural downloads since the Trans-Enlightenment in the band. Dan Sylvest had collated all known information on the Shrouders here. Work that eventually led to his own fateful expedition to Lascaille's Shroud. But that was the deep past now. History had turned the glory of the Glitter Band into this. When the Melding Plague had hit, the Glitter Band had stayed intact for far longer than Chasm City, for most of the band's habitats already had effective quarantine protocols. Some were so secretive and self-sufficient that no one had entered them in decades anyway. But they were not ultimately immune. It only took one habitat to fall to the plague. Within days, most of the people aboard died, and most of their habitat's self-replicating systems began to go haywire in ways that seemed nastily purposeful. The habitat's ecosystem collapsed fatally. Uncontrolled, the habitat drifted out of its orbital slot like a chunk of carved iceberg. Ordinarily, the chances of a collision would have been small, but the Glitter Band was already congested to within a hair's breadth of disaster. The first rule of collisions between two orbital bodies was that they were very rare indeed, until one happened. Then the shards of the destroyed bodies would splinter off in different directions, significantly increasing the likelihood of another impact. It would not be such a long wait until the next collision, and when it happened again, the number of shards increased once more, such that the next collision was a practical certainty. Within weeks, most of the habitats in the Glitter Band had been fatally holed by collisional debris, and even when those impact fragments were not in themselves sufficient to kill all aboard, they also tended to be contaminated by traces of the plague, originating from the first habitat to fall. They became orbiting hulks, as dark and dead as driftwood. By the end of the year, barely 200 habitats had remained intact, principally the oldest and sturdiest structures, sheathed in rock and ice against radiation storms. With batteries of anti-collision lasers emplaced around their skins, they had managed to fend off most of the large chunks. That was 6 years ago. In the intervening time, Quirrenbach told me, the rust belt had been stabilized, with most of the debris mopped up and conglomerated into hazardous lumps which had been sent spinning into the boiling face of Epsilon Eridani. Now at least the belt was not growing any more fragmented. The hulks, for the most part, were kept in check by periodic nudges from robot tugs. Only a handful had been successfully repressurized and settled, although there were predictable rumors of all manner of sinister factions squatting furtively amongst the ruins. This much I had learned from the nets. Seeing the ruins for the first time was something else entirely. Yellowstone was an ochre immensity blocking half the sky, now tangibly a world like the one I'd left, rather than a pale two-dimensional disk against the stars. As the